wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Neighbor, let me suppose you awoke in the morning and rubbed your eyes and thought, it's just another day, I wonder what time it is. Looking at the clock, the dial and hands have vanished, and across the face of it you see these words, behold, now is the accepted time. You think, accepted time? I've heard of that before. And then you look at the calendar on the wall, and its days and numbers have faded away. And you see these words, behold, now is the day of salvation. You would think, now, the day of salvation. What matters then the date? You go out into the yard to try and shake it off, but it now comes right out of the sky, the same words. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tell me, neighbor, what would you do? Would you eat a big breakfast or read the newspaper? What would you do? Some of you would get out your family Bible. Suppose it opened to 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Would you not take action and seek to get right with God now? Realizing that God had given you a heavenly warning. Neighbor, I cannot promise you that you will see those words on the clock or calendar or hear that voice from the sky, but in God's eternal word, there is plainly written this offer and his warning to you. He is offering you his full, free, and eternal salvation for you to act on it right now. And is God's warning, for at any tick of the clock, God's offer may be withdrawn and you will be too late forever. God has spoken to you in his written word, and he wants it to be the very voice of the living God to your soul. Hear it and act on it today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Preachers have their many hobbies. One preacher's hobby is baptism, while another is preaching the church instead of Christ. Another is making everything of tongues, and so it goes. But in God's word, the grand and glorious subject is salvation. From cover to cover, God is unveiling his wonderful salvation in Christ. Allow me to mark out four great essentials of God's salvation. First, the Bible takes whole chapters to show us our need of salvation. For no man will be saved until he realizes in his heart his deep need of salvation. It is also because men are so proud and obstinate in this matter, they will not confess their need of salvation. Why is this? Let me introduce three persons. First, behind the prison bars we see a confirmed criminal. Why is he not repentant before God? Sin has hardened his heart and blinded his eyes as he's gone from bad to worse till he doesn't care. You might think he would toss and groan on his bed at night, but he doesn't. For he is sin-hardened and sin-blinded. Indifference is written on his hard face. Second, we find a young man way back in the mountains. He was raised by bootleggers. His parents curse and fight. They all sleep in one room, and morals were never known. Sin to them is such a daily diet. Its deadly character they do not dread. Sunday school and preaching are not on their schedule. Ignorance has made him unconcerned about his wretched condition. The third is a woman with a pious religious appearance, yet she's a rounder at night, at the show, the dance, and the club. She can smoke or drink or curse with the worst, but she has a religious coat for Easter Sunday and a pious smile for the church folks. Behind these she hides her wicked self, so she thinks. She doesn't see her need of salvation, nor will she, until God's word strips her of her abominable hypocrisy. In her indifference, she lives in a fool's paradise. These three represent three sample human beings in their indifference to their need of salvation. At such, the word of God, like a hammer, smashes its blows. Like a sword, it flashes its truth. And like a great searchlight, its rays penetrate the secret darkness, all to bring men to see their need of salvation. Is not my word, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? All must eventually crumble before God's word, for all men need God's salvation, and without it, hellfire would be our prison. No water, no light, no air, our diet, and our term would be eternity. Second, the Bible reveals there's one and only one way of salvation. From cover to cover, it bears its testimony to one person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who cried, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible honors prophets and apostles, evangelists and pastors, but of all these it cries, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not Abraham or Moses, not Peter or Paul, not Elizabeth and not Mary, but Jesus, Jesus only." Cathedrals, temples, and churches cannot save. Crackers and bread, water and wine, images and idols, ordinances and rituals, creeds and catechisms, all of these are void of any saving virtue or power, for salvation is of the Lord and not these. To only one person the Holy Scriptures point as they cry, "Behold the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world, Jesus, the great sin-bearer of Calvary, Jesus, who rose from the dead and who lives forever at God's right hand in heaven. He alone can cry to a world of lost men, 'Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me.' There is only one way of salvation, Christ and Christ alone. For this a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Third, the Bible shows the terms of salvation, that is, how you get it. The terms are simple and plain. There are only two: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. These two: except ye repent, ye shall all perish. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe. You must repent of your sins toward God and seek his mercy, and you must believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, as your Lord and your Savior. These are the two and only terms of salvation. Nothing less will do, and nothing more is needed. We dare not add to them, nor take from them. Many more things are mentioned in God's word, and they have their proper place in God's revelation and in our lives, but they are not the terms of salvation. Here are some of such. It is scriptural and right for one who is saved to be baptized, but no one has to be baptized to be saved. He is baptized because he's already saved. It is right for a Christian to liberally give to the gospel work, but God does not demand $1 as a part of his terms of salvation. It is not baptism, not money, not communion, not church joining, not doing church work, but only two: repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way you can obtain salvation. Meet the terms. God will not change them for anyone. You may know that you are a wicked sinner, but have you ever fallen on your knees and confessed your sin and guilt to God, seeking his mercy? You know that only one can save you, and you need him, the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have never called on his name for salvation, nor surrendered to him as your Lord. Will you not do so? When? Right now? Amen. And that brings us to the fourth, the time of salvation. In the clearest words possible, our text names God's one and only time to save sinners. Listen, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now," N-O-W, "is the day of salvation." God says now, and he means it. Man says tomorrow, but man's tomorrow is God's too late. Don't trifle with Almighty God. Your life is in his hand. The devil says, "You can't be saved now. You have to wait till after you die, and then you'll have another chance." But God says, "Now is the day of salvation." That old deceiver knows that no one gets saved after he dies, and there is no second chance. Neighbor, it is now or never for you. Some may say, "Preacher, you don't scare me. I'm young and healthy and strong." Are you sure? Are you certain that right now some malignant condition is not taking its deadly grip on you? Now let me show you five ways in which God's time of salvation might suddenly and eternally end for you. First, you may die. This very day God may say to you, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee," and you will be in eternity. Second, you may have a stroke and never again be in your right mind. Your time to be saved will have passed forever. Third, you may commit suicide. You may now count the suggestion ridiculous, furthest from your plans. But do you think that Judas Iscariot intended to hang himself 1 hour before he did? He had gotten his desired money and he had big plans, but suddenly his conscience so lashed him, he sought relief by tying the death knot around his throat. 1 hour before King Saul fell on his own sword, do you think he intended to kill himself? Then be warned, you may commit suicide and thus tragically end your only time to be saved. Fourth, your mind may become confused and you never regain your soundness of mind. Thus would end the space God has given you to repent. And fifth, Jesus may come at any moment and then the day of salvation would end forever for you. Five things, and any of them might happen to you at any time, and then your doom would be sealed forever. That's why God puts such special emphasis on his time to save you. Your next step may land you in a lost eternity. You close your eyes in sleep, but you may lift up your eyes in the tormenting flames of hellfire. You will exist as long as God lives, but you will never know another hour, another tick of the clock, in which you can be saved. It is now or never. In hellfire, there are millions who knew the way of salvation, and they intended to be saved, but they kept saying tomorrow, and they found themselves in God's too late. The Holy Spirit has shown you your sin and the Savior you need. He had made plain to you the terms of salvation, and now he speaks to you for the last time. The Holy Ghost says today. He urges you to choose Christ today. He knows, I do not, your last opportunity, and he says today, come now. Do not resist the Holy Ghost. Neighbor, in the name of Jesus Christ the Savior, and by the Spirit of God, I command you to halt. Stop right where you are, and don't sleep or eat until you are saved. Show the Lord you're in earnest. Tell him, "Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Please save me now." And be sure to say, "Now."